are you open to recalibrating some of these things? It's more so that we use the chart instead of like a judgment tool, of actually a tool to just help us to understand the other person better.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of Pure Happy Healthy. My name is Leandra Haupt. I work as a model, I'm a techno lover and a 90s fashion enthusiast. And I work as a hypnotherapist and life coach. Through my work and this podcast, I want to bring more connection, happiness, and health into this world. Each week, I release an interview with an inspiring guest, all on the topics pure, happy, healthy. When you think of a horoscope, do you think of fashion magazine pages filled with information of the food choices you shall make this week to lose more weight, or the news that you'll meet your soulmate maybe today? I admit I was actually reading them too at doctor's offices and maybe on flights. But astrology is actually a profession. And it is so complex that I don't even understand any of it when I look at my calculated chart. So I suppose that most people maybe know their star sign, but did you also know that we actually have multiple signs? By the exact time and place of your birth, you can calculate your rising sign, your moon sign, and all the other influences that make up your whole chart. And it reveals surprisingly a lot about your life. But instead of not taking action anymore and taking everything for written in the stars, we can instead use it as a tool to guide us in a more conscious way through life. This is also the approach from Natalie Holbrook, who I'm speaking with today on Pure Happy Healthy. She's a professional astrologer and a practitioner of Psyche, which is a technique to work with the subconscious mind. She will explain the qualities of each sign, how astrology can help us understand life. She speaks about compatibilities of signs and the concept of soulmate and twin flames. I actually got my individual reading from her before we recorded, and it felt like she had known me for ages. It helped me so much on getting clarity about my path and support me on knowing about my strengths and my weaknesses. So I'm super, super excited to share this beautiful conversation with you now. And if you haven't subscribed to my channel yet, please, please do so. And if you haven't left me a written review, you can also do that on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And that really helps, yeah, bringing these important messages to even more people. So thank you so much and enjoy this beautiful conversation with Natalie Holbrook. Yeah, so today I'm speaking with beautiful Natalie Holbrook, and I'm super happy and grateful you're here on Pure Happy Healthy.
I'm so happy to be here too. Thank you for having me.
So you're close to San Diego at the moment, which means we're quite a few hours apart from each other. And for you, it's morning. So I already know the answer because I saw it. But for the listeners, I would love to ask you, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had celery juice.
This is very typical, I think, for California, as I experience it, because I feel people in California are very aware of their health and very conscious and live a very conscious lifestyle. Would you think that, would you agree with that, that it's like this in California?
100%. I mean, also, especially in Southern California. I mean, yeah, in Northern California too, but I mean, I'm definitely an exception because my background is that I'm a holistic nutritionist. So before I stepped into astrology and Psyche K, I was studying nutrition. And so that's just kind of my default is like green juice, of course.
Yeah, you were already mentioning it, what you did or what you're doing currently in life, but it's always best when people explain it themselves. So would you like to introduce yourself and who are you and what are you doing?
Yes. So my name is Natalie Holbrook. My business is Natalie Holbrook Wellness. And I am first an astrologer. Astrology is just something that I kind of, it's a weird thing. It's like once I started to learn it and study it, I learned it so quickly that I felt like I just reactivated, you know, a part of a past life or something, and that I remembered it. And then I also combine the astrology work with something called Psyche K, which is a process where we combine the subconscious mind with the conscious mind in order to, you know, use those two together to overcome any limiting beliefs that we have or any of the patterns that live within our subconscious and put those in to make, you know, new goals and new abilities for us to live the life of our dreams. And it's really beautiful to combine these two modalities because with the birth chart and astrology, we can see what is it that your soul really wanted to do here? What is it that is your pattern? What are the things that are really challenging for you? What are the things that are going to bring you, you know, things that you have to overcome and kind of work a little bit harder at? And then what are the gifts that you have that you flow? And then with Psyche, we can take those things and transform them consciously within your subconscious.
Yeah, we actually just did both of the sessions. So a short reading and then the Psyche session. And it was so amazing because actually I think for the first time in my life, I fully understood my chart. I have one of these charts at home, but it can seem very confusing when you look at it at someone who doesn't know how to read it. And you had like that very... yeah, that gift to explain it to me, and I'm sure you explain it to other people as well like this, that I actually understood what it was about. So I know it's a bit challenging maybe for someone who doesn't have the chart of them in front of them now, but could you briefly get into this chart and explain what the sun means, what the moon means, and the rising means, and maybe also what you explained earlier to me? I found that so interesting with the upper signs that are for the sun and the lower signs that are for the moon, and what's about this.
Yeah. So if you don't have your chart and if you want to look at it, you can actually, if you're just listening to this podcast on your phone, you can go to my website while you're listening to natalieholbrookwellness.com. And there's a little button that says map my chart. And you can actually just put in all of your info. You do need, you know, your birthday, where you were born and the time that you were born, and it will pull it up for you directly right there. So you can follow along as I explain it. So the sun, moon, and the rising are kind of like your cosmic personality. It's really the three biggest pieces that explain so much about you. And that's why right now, you know, so many people realize and are saying, what's your sun, moon, rising? You know, it's not just what's your sun sign anymore. So everybody knows about the sun, and the sun is like the air that we breathe. The sun is your birthday, and the sun, you don't even really have to think about. It's just your hard wiring. It's just who you are. This is just your will. This is your ego. This is going to be the things that you like to do and that you probably resonate with it, that you just do so naturally that it's a part of you. You know, for me, I'm a Taurus and I love nice things. You can see as we're on our call, I have a fur blanket here next to me. You know, I love to wear beautiful jewelry and, you know, all of those things that I don't really think about them though. They just come. And like how we discussed with you being a Capricorn sun, you don't even think about like, oh, I have to make this and this and this. It's just very natural for you to start businesses or to be a hard worker. That's just a part of your essence. You know, it's really your identity. So that's the sun, is your identity. It's really, I love thinking of it as the air that we breathe because we don't think about it, right? And then the rising sign is what you're here to rise into. The rising sign is also called the ascendant. And so if you're looking at your chart, the rising sign is over the house number one. And you can also tell that it is what was rising in the horizon on the east when you were born. And so we can see that that was the one. It wasn't directly over the horizon yet, but it was that one that was coming up to that point. And so the rising and the ascendant, it's what you're ascending into in this life. It's what your soul said, hey, I want to learn how to be more like this. And usually we will have those types of physical qualities or traits that we will also look like, and people will see that about us, or they'll see, oh, you kind of have the personality of a Libra, or, you know, you're someone who really likes to communicate and have a lot of friends, and it's a lot of mental energy. So you can look into what sign that is and see, okay, this is what I really wanted to learn how to do and what I'm here to evolve into. Sometimes if you look at the placements of different signs of like what they look like for me, I'm a Leo rising, and Leos are known to have a lot of hair because it's like the lion, and I have a lot of hair. People always notice my hair. And so, you know, you can kind of look into that with Libra. like for yours, Libra is always known as being very aesthetically put together, that they love jewelry, you know, that there's a balance, that they like to make sure that things look in balance and that there's like a synastry there. And so, you know, just looking at you and after talking to you and hearing all you do, I'm like, oh yeah, for sure, Libra rising. And then the moon sign. So the moon is so crucial. You know, at some point in my life, I want to create a book for kids to teach them how to learn astrology, and especially to learn their moon, because the moon is our needs. It's our deep, deep needs. It's our deep emotions. It's what we need to do to feel good. It's where we go when we're stressed out. It's our subconscious mind. And so we don't even realize that we have these things, but this can tell us, okay, when I'm stressed, here's what I need. Like for you being a Pisces moon, you need to have quiet time. You need to have time where you can tap into your spirituality and be by yourself, because Pisces has that energy where it needs to escape and it needs to feel like I can go back into that place where it's just about me and God, or me and the universe, you know, and feel art and feel music and feel something that's going to take you into a realm where you can remember who you are and not get caught up in the day-to-day drama. Or for example, mine, I'm a Gemini moon, and I need to actually feel like I can communicate with other people, or that I can talk about things, or that I can talk about it with myself through journaling or through writing music or through whatever outlet that I decide to use. And so once you know your moon, then you can say, okay, here's my need that I need to have just to be happy, but also for when I'm stressed, this is what I can do to help myself cope and move through the ebbs and the flows of the emotional upheaval that's always going to happen throughout my life, and do it in a calm, peaceful, constructive manner.
You were already talking about a lot of different qualities from all the examples that you gave. For someone who has maybe not looked very deeply into astrology, could you just quickly say maybe like a few main traits from each sign, so people can relate to the signs and what they mean?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so let's start with Aries. So Aries is the first of the zodiac. So Aries is very courageous. It's very independent, very individualized. It needs to be about itself. It is here to learn about me. You know, it's like, what is it that is my purpose? What is it that I want to do? It's very fun. And there's a lot of independence and a lot of drive. It's very, very driven, because it just wants to go and it wants to do things. The shadow is that it can sometimes be reckless or it can be selfish. So those are things to watch out for. Taurus is very, you know, it's the first earth sign. So the keywords for Taurus would be that it's practical. It is really about money and finances. Taurus is known as kind of like the Venusian, like the Venus goddess of the zodiac, where it just wants to experience the finest things in life. You know, it wants to have high quality food, all organic, all, you know, delicious chocolate, and take very luxurious baths and just experience pleasure. Taurus is very sensual. Taurus also is very much tied to gifts and value. And what is it that your talents are? You know, is it that you're cooking? Is it that you're creating art? What is it that you're doing? What are you building? It also has to do with home and land and things of the earth, food. The shadow is that it can sometimes be insecure, or it can be materialistic, or it can be too indulgent. So watch yourself there, Tauruses. As a Taurus sun, I definitely have the indulgence a little bit. Gemini is the communicator of the zodiac. They're the ones who can talk for hours and hours. The job of the Gemini is to be the messenger. They also are very curious all of the time. They want to learn and know everything. The shadow is that the Gemini energy, it can want to know so many things all the time that it can sometimes be two-faced, or it can be, you know, it's the archetype of the twins. And so it can be really hot or really cold, or into the drama too much, or into the gossiping too much. So that's something to look out for. Cancer is the archetype of the mother. And Cancer is here to nurture us and to feed us and to really bring love into the world in a way that is like you are my children and I just want to take care of you. I want to nourish you. I want to be that shoulder for you to cry on. And it's, you know, they're also the crab. And so sometimes they have to come out of their shell to show themselves to the world. And so that can also be a shadow, is that sometimes they can have this barrier up because they've been hurt before, or because they're too afraid to show their true self, and that they're not actually showing, you know, that fun, gushy side inside of them or expressing their whole selves because they have that wall up. So that's something that they have to be careful of. But Cancer is really tied to our emotions and into our intuition. And so it's really important for Cancers to follow that intuition and to tap into that deeper empathy that they have as the first water sign. And then Leo is the performer of the zodiac. Leo is so creative. It needs to self-express. It needs to say, what is it that I am here to create? And that can be in many different ways. Maybe you're a graphic designer. Maybe you are an artist. Maybe you're a singer. You know, J-Lo is like classic Leo, right? Where she is like, I am here. I've got my jewels on. You know, Leo is the queen energy. And so they like to have all of their nice jewelry and, you know, the nice things. The shadow of Leo is that it can be a little bit narcissistic, or it can be a little bit arrogant or egotistic. So it's really about watching yourself in that side of not allowing yourself to be too big or take up the space or be too self-indulgent, where you're calling someone and you're just telling them all about your day and then not asking how their day was. You know, that's kind of the shadow. The shadow of Leo can also be that it can try too hard for validation of other people. The job of Leo is to really learn how to love and fully accept themselves, regardless of what anybody else thinks. And then we have Virgo. So Virgo is I feel like Virgo is one of the angels of the zodiac. It's kind of like an earth angel. It's the Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene archetype. It's the archetype of the Virgin. And they're here to heal. And there's different ways that they're here to heal. If you were to Google like Virgo keywords, you would get organized, analytical, meticulous, disciplined, like they want everything to be perfect, perfectionist. But the reason that they want this to be perfect is because they know what perfect can be. Innately, they have this feeling of like, this is how it should be. So people who are Virgos make amazing consultants, you know, and people who can go in and be problem solvers. They can see, here's what's wrong, here's how we fix it. And so if we then take that into consideration of them being an earth sign, they're able to be the nutritionist of the zodiac, the herbalist, the doctors, a lot of nurses, you know, anyone who's really involved in service or service work. I did a reading for someone who had such strong Virgo, and she was older. I think she's like in her 70s now. And she was like, yeah, in my younger days, I had a house cleaning service. I had a maid service. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, you literally went and cleaned people's houses. Like, that is so Virgo. And then the shadow is that it can be very critical. It can be very judgmental because it has such a high standard of perfection that the Virgo job is, no, you need to still love who you are with and love others without judgment, you know? And the motto for Virgo is, their mantra is I serve, but it also is done is better than perfect. And I am enough, because a lot of times they'll have a hard time with wanting to do so much and judging themselves for not being enough. And so it's really about loving yourself and tapping into that healer, healing yourself. So then we get into Libra. And, you know, here's the funny thing about the zodiac too, is that it really goes in this beautiful order where it's like, we start at Aries where it's a fire. It's kind of like the big bang, right? Like we started with a fire. We started with a catastrophe, and Aries was coming out and like running and excited. And then Taurus came and was like, but how do we make everything more beautiful? And how do we have money and structure? And Gemini came in and is like, but I want to talk about it. You know, what are the people doing by the water? What are the people doing in the woods? What are the people doing in the air? So Gemini's communicating about it. And then Cancer comes in and is like, oh my gosh, you guys, we need to talk about our feelings. And then Leo comes in and is like, yes, let's talk about our feelings. And I'm going to sing all about it and like get really excited. And then Virgo comes in and is like, oh my gosh, Leo, like you are all hungover. This place is a mess. You know, we need to refine. Like I hear you singing, but like I'm a vocal coach. And a lot of Virgos are singers, actually, like Beyonce, Florence Welch, you know, there's a lot of that Virgo energy is refining. And so then come in the Libras, and the Libras are like, okay, we're refined. now we're refined and we're ready for partnership. And so Libra comes up to us and they're like, hey, you're cute. Do you want to go on a date? Do you want to sit on the bench together? Do you want to experience this new earth that we're in together? And Libra is about relating and learning, how is it that we work together? What is the balance of the masculine and the feminine within us and within our external world? What is the balance of the dark and the light, of the shadow and the growing, you know, of all of those things? And so Libra is to bring harmony. It's to bring beauty into the world. And, you know, there it's kind of like that Jack Johnson song, Better Together, is like the song for Libra. And then we go into Scorpio, and Scorpio is like, okay, so we've done the Libra thing. We're together. But what's the depth of this? What does this really mean? When you said that snide comment, what did that really mean? What was the underlying tone? And Scorpio is the mystic of the zodiac and the psychologist, where they want to analyze, they want to go in, not necessarily analyze, that's more Virgo, but they want to psychologize, if that's, we can make that a word, right? Like they want to see, what are the depths of your soul and what are the skeletons in your closet? And a lot of times, you know, if we think about Scorpio, Scorpio is when Halloween is, it's when we have Day of the Dead, we have Samhain, we have all of these holidays that are about death and rebirth, because the energy of Scorpio is transformation. The shadow of Scorpio is that it can be too, it can want something too bad, that it can be too forceful, or it can be obsessive. And then we go into Sagittarius, and Sagittarius is like, okay, now we've transformed. What is the light of all of this? And Sagittarius is kind of about these three main things, which is higher learning, so higher education, higher spirituality. It's like, what is it that is you know, who are you? What is it that you're bringing to the world? What does your spirit want to bring to the world? And then international travel. So people who have a lot of Sagittarius energy are usually always traveling, or they live abroad, or, you know, there's something where they're, even if they're not traveling, they're somehow learning more and they want to travel. And then we get into Capricorn, which is the hard worker. It's kind of like, okay, we've traveled. Now let's find our place. Let's lay the roots down. You know, yes, they are disciplined. It's kind of the energy of like the old wealthy grandfather. Who's like, how is it that, right? There you are. let's build, let's construct, let's leave our empire. Let's create a legacy. What is it that's my footprint? What's my carbon footprint? How is it that people are going to remember me? It's very dedicated to their work. It's very disciplined. It's very good at taking their inner knowledge and that maturity and applying it to something of importance. And the shadow is that it can be a workaholic, or it can be cold, because it's just like, I have to work, nothing else matters. And then we go into Aquarius, and Aquarius is, you know, it's kind of like Aquarius was rebelling against the Capricorn, where Aquarius was like, okay, you're set in your rules, you're set in your stone, Capricorn, sir, you know, ma'am, and I'm going to go dye my hair pink and do the opposite thing. I'm going to go find freedom and find rebellion and listen to punk rock music and, you know, be a founding member of PETA, you know, whatever it is. They're going to do whatever is more revolutionary and unique. But the underlying tone for Aquarius is that it's actually doing it because it wants this betterment of humanity, that all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, we're here in our world, but what about the people who are, you know, in the third world countries? Like, they really want to be a philanthropist and a humanitarian, and their big vision is to somehow change and bring the world to greater heights. And the shadow of Aquarius is, it can also be, it's kind of like the astronaut who's floating in space, and it can be a little bit airy or a little bit aloof and removed, because it's like, I have this big vision, but like, that's all they see. You know, and it can be also hot and cold energy, because it's like, well, I'm just going to go into my basement and work on my creating the iPhone for, you know, 5 years and then bring it out to you. And I didn't talk to anyone else during that time. And then the last of the zodiac is Pisces. And Pisces is like, it takes all of the wisdom from all of the 11 signs before it. And it says, okay, you know what? The most important thing here, you guys. And it's like, this was classic Beatles. It was like, actually, all you need is love. And that, you know, Pisces energy is like pure Beatles, where it's just like, let's all just you're the walrus and I'm the walrus, you know, like it's all together now, right? And it's about bringing that unconditional love to the surface and tying that magic in where it's like, let's bring the spirituality in. Where is the spirituality? It's through the spirituality that brings us this invisible string that connects all of us together. And doing that so through music, through art, through creation, through meditation. And then the shadow of that is that it can sometimes, because it just wants this idyllic world, it can be a little bit boundless and it needs to have some type of boundaries. And because, you know, it wants to have so much love in the world, sometimes the real world can be harsh for the Pisces energy and it will want to escape. It will want to go to drugs or to alcohol or sex or, you know, food, whatever the thing is that can help numb that out, because the world can feel so intense sometimes that it's like, I just want to go back to feeling really good. So instead of going to any of those substances or practices that are going to be harmful, is instead to go within and go into taking those messages from the divine and creating something from that, and then making the world a better and more beautiful place through that love and that all togetherness.
Wow.
Story of all the zodiac signs.
I think while you were speaking, everyone listening feels probably very transparent now because you got it all. And I was, as you were speaking, thinking about all people I know with this sign, and it was right on it. It's like 100% like the personalities of everyone I know with these signs. And I'm sure people listening experience this as well. And I also realized, and I also see it a lot around me, that we often stick with people with a certain sign. For example, for me, my whole family is Aquarius, whereas most of my friends are Pisces. And then most of my ex-partners were all Virgo. So I can really see tendencies. And I know from other people, from conversations, that there are these tendencies. So would you say there are certain matches between signs that work out really well, and then there's others that are problematic? Or would you say it's, we can all make it work and it really depends on the single constellations? Or is it also maybe more like the water signs between them get along and the fire signs, etc.? So how is the compatibility between all these?
Yeah, well, that is loaded because, you know, everyone's birth chart is going to be different. And so they're all going to have different areas. So I would say that, you know, there's kind of two where like earth and water go together and fire and air go together, because you do need to have, you know, fire and earth, for example, is just going to spread like wildfire and be really tumultuous. But to create a fire in general, you need air, right? And so it's like, you need that. The earth needs water to live, to continue to grow. And so those are kind of two things that sometimes will go a little bit better together. So like how you said that, you know, you have a Pisces moon. And so if you were attracted to Virgos, then their sun would be in Virgo. And so you have that sun-moon connection. So in relationships, there's a lot of different factors that we can look at. You know, we can look at, is the sun and the moon, are they talking to each other in a good way? You know, we can also look at, like you said, the water elements are going to naturally be attracted to each other because you are, it's kind of like this group of empaths, you know, it's like you're this group of people who feel a lot and who are like, oh, let's listen to music and, you know, just like lay down and like cry and watch movies, like things that feel really good. And then a lot of the fire people are probably going to want to do things together because they're like, yes, let's go climb trees and like do Iron Man and, you know, run marathons and whatever they're doing. And the earth people are like, let's, you know, climb the mountain, or let's talk about our finances, you know, like let's do things that are structured and that are material. And then the air, you get a group of air people together and it's like nonstop laughter and talking and chatting and like intelligence, where it's just like, you know, Bill Nye and all of his science friends. And so, but it is a little bit more difficult to say who is going to be your perfect exact, you know, romantic partner or partner in life, because that's like, you have to go into the whole chart and really see that.
So let's say we get a bit more into the charts and we find out that someone, maybe a friend or maybe a partner, is not really a good match astrologically. So how serious shall we take the knowledge of astrology? And should we say that maybe this is not literally under a good star and should be more curious, more cautious about entering really this relationship or staying with that partner? Or shall we just say, well, it's just the stars, basically. It for now, it works. Let's keep with this. What's your opinion about this?
Yeah. Okay. This is such a beautiful question. There's kind of two ways. So I think that just like with our own charts, astrology gives us this knowing, right? It's like, for example, with my ex-partner, I saw his chart and I was like, okay, I see that he has these tendencies. So this is just a part of who he is. This is something that for me and my chart and just how I see myself consciously, right, is that it would be a little bit harder for me to work on or to match with. However, is it something that the people now are consciously willing to work to evolve and be more conscious about? And so if the two people are willing to put in doing their own self work, then I think that most patterns can work. It's more so of just, are you willing to adjust for the other person? You know, because you can look in and you can see, okay, these people just might not even really be attracted to each other. And you would notice that in real life, right? Like you'd go on a date, you'd be like, yeah, like he was cool, but I don't feel any chemistry. And we could probably see that in the chart. Or you could go on a date and you're like, oh my gosh, this is my twin flame. And you feel so much. And all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, you're going to Colombia together and you're in love. And you know, you're like, whoa, like it's a whirlwind romance and I'm marrying this person. And then you see in your chart and you're like, wow, I actually see that there's so many things. But a lot of times when there's really, really great things, there can sometimes also be things that are very difficult too. And so you have to just say, is it worth it for us to do this together? And are you open to recalibrating some of these things? It's more so that we use the chart instead of like a judgment tool, of actually a tool to just help us to understand the other person better and say, well, you know, you have this Mercury Saturn connection, which means that maybe the way that you talk is going to feel like you are more of a disciplinarian, that you're a little more patriarchal in the way that you say things and that things you like them to be on your terms. Then we can say, okay, is that something that maybe you would be willing to work on and budge? And also for the other person on the receiving end, is that something that I'm going to be okay with having a partner like that? You know, so it gives us these glimpses into just who that other person is.
Yeah, I love that you said that we can also take it not for given, but for something that we can work on and then we can learn and that we can also change it in our and see something that we can change. So that's a really beautiful approach. I really love that. I often heard that, like, let's say a Leo man is a bit different than a Leo woman. So what's your point on that? Does it matter even if we're the same sign and let's say even the same date and the same constellation, would we still, being a woman or being a man, have somehow different tendencies there?
Yeah, I think that they're going to have a little bit different tendencies. It's still going to be the same energy, but you just have to think about how is it that the person who's in their masculine would do this versus how is it that the person in their feminine would do this. So that could be true for every single sign. So if we think about a Leo man, they are probably going to be someone who, you know, and a great example of this, if you guys look on Instagram, there's an actual astrologer named the Leo King. And he is very, very in his Leo. He's very in his masculine. But, you know, he wears a lot of rings and he is, he's very good looking. He is very passionate when he speaks. And so it's like they're bringing this energy out where it can be a little bit flashy and it can also be this kind of, not arrogant, but it magnetizes you in because it's this a little bit of like a look at me type thing, not in a way of being cocky, but just what they say gives you that energy where you do want to listen. Whereas the way that, and also we think about the masculine energy is more penetrating, right? It's more loud and aggressive in there. And for a woman, You know, it really just depends on, for both sides, it depends on their chart and the other things that are happening. But for a woman, maybe she's not as aggressive, but at the same time, she also could be, but she probably likes to do the same things. She probably also likes to have very nice clothing, or she likes to, you know, show off a little bit. Like one of my best friends is a Leo, and she is a classic example of this, where she always has the best jewelry on. She, you know, she does the whole Burning Man scene, and she always has all of her bindis and her diamonds on her face, and, you know, her crown piece and her headpieces, and like her hair done and her makeup done. And she also loves singing. And so she walks in a room and you know that she is there. There's a very strong presence, but it's not in a way where it's like, oh my gosh, she's so annoying and loud. It's more of just like, oh, she's here and this is who she is. So for both of them, for Leos, it's the king and the queen. And you can kind of think about that and just the way that they deliver it. You know, there's so many pieces where we have to look at their moon sign, we have to look at their rising, we have to look at all of the other things. But I would say overall that it's more of just, well, one person's going to do it in a more masculine way, one person is going to do it in a more feminine way.
Wow, so interesting. One question that popped up for me as you were speaking before, and I know that is not necessarily connected with astrology, but maybe you know the answer as well, as you were talking about twin flames and soulmates. What exactly is the difference between a twin flame, a soulmate? And I think there is one more term for basically like the chosen person. Do you know how these differentiate?
Yes, I do, because I actually just released my twin flame. So good timing. Or from what I know and from what I understand and what kind of comes intuitively to me is that the twin flame, not everyone finds in this lifetime. The twin flame, it's this concept and this idea that, you know, before we came down here, that your soul was one, and that as a twin flame, you two separated, and that you're twins, that your soul is very, very similar, that you have the same desires, that you have the same wants, that you have the same needs. And you are here as two separate beings experiencing life in different ways, but that you still have that same soul essence. And so when you meet your twin flame, it will be like you knew this person your whole life, and that they feel like home to you, and that they feel like your best friend. But because you have the same soul, they also, you know, it's like you got half and they got half. And so you're these mirror images to each other. And so as we all know, sometimes mirror images can be very difficult because they show us all of our true sides. They show us and they project at us also our realities. And a lot of times those things are the things that we don't want to deal with, or that we don't have courage to grow through, or that, you know, maybe it's easier to be in victim mode or to not do the work, right? And so twin flame relationships can feel like the most incredible, satisfying, like most beautiful love relationship in the whole world, where you're like, I don't think I'll ever find another person like this. But then the other side of it is that there's a lot of work that also has to do with that. And both of the twin flames need to have a desire to grow and to evolve in order to actually work out together. And, you know, I think that I personally think that maybe you're not supposed to be with your twin flame, because this person is going to continue to give you lessons. It's very difficult from, and I say this from like having the experience of, if this is the correct definition of a twin flame that I'm going off of, is that it's the most incredible love in the whole world. But sometimes you're just learning so many lessons, and the energy is so, so strong that you have to ask yourself, do I want to be living a life where day in, day out, I'm learning lessons? And that day in, day out, the energy is so intense that it's like it consumes you, and that maybe it holds you back because it's like my soul is just always growing. It's like you need to rest and chill. And so that I think is that twin flame energy. And if you've met your twin flame, you'll probably know it, because you'll say, this person affected me the most in my life, and it was the most beautiful love, but we couldn't be together because ABC, you know. And that person can also come back into your life many times, Or, you know, maybe if they're not actually coming back in the physical realm, maybe they come back to you in dreams, or maybe it's just that person that you always think of, and it's beautiful. And so, and then I think just from what I've kind of learned about the soulmate connection is that we can have multiple soulmates. We only have one twin flame, and the twin flame is like the biggest, brightest ball of fire and energy. Whereas the soulmates we can have multiple connections with, because it's like our souls are here to actually help to not complete each other, because our souls are already complete, but more so to just enhance that other person's experience and to be someone where it's like, I will do anything for you. I will, you know, be this person who is your love and be this life partner with you. And you have different souls, but it can be more complementary. Not to say that soulmates are going to be, you know, all easy. There will definitely be harder things there too, but the twin flame is the most intense. It's kind of like the highest of highs in love and the lowest in lows in pain.
Yeah. I always wonder if you would immediately know when you find a soulmate or even your twin flame, and if there was like a special feeling about it or something, you know, like, especially when you have never thought about this in this way or never experienced it, maybe if you would notice it, if that person would suddenly enter your life. So, but I think the explanation that you gave, that you cannot stop thinking about this person, or also that that person triggers you in ways that you didn't even know were possible, I think that explains it really well. And in very interesting concepts. I love this. One thing that I would still talk about, like to talk about, is the Psyche-K, because this was a really new concept to me that I haven't heard of before. And we just did it before we started to record, and it was really magic. And I love how you combine this also with the astrology. I think this is a really beautiful combination. So would you like to explain what exactly that is and how you use this in your work?
Yeah, so Psyche-K is a method where we combine the conscious and the subconscious minds. And so your subconscious mind is 95% of your brain. So the things that we do, you know, I'm talking with my hands right now and I'm not thinking, oh, I'm moving my hands, right? It's just, those are the things that are in your subconscious. We do them. It's from our conditioning. It's from the things that we were raised with when we were younger. It's kind of all of those things that we just learned how to do at a younger age and that are in the back of our mind. So the way that we're actually operating with our thinking mind is only 5%. So what Psyche does is it combines the subconscious mind and the conscious mind together in a way that we can then muscle test, because it is only through our bodies that we can actually get in touch with our subconscious mind. So for example, you know, being sick is a way that your subconscious mind is saying, hey, you need to slow down. Hey, you need to eat better. You need to take better care of yourself. That's a way. So we use muscle testing to get in touch and essentially talk to our subconscious mind. And so, you know, we would take a goal statement, or we would take some type of belief, you know, something as simple as I love myself, and test that by muscle testing and see, does your subconscious mind actually believe this or not? And so it's a beautiful method to take really anything. I mean, I've even done it with a friend where she was like, I always forget how to tighten lids on my bottles. And so we took the statement, it's easy for me to tighten the lids on my bottles every time I take a sip. And now she never forgets to tighten the lids on her bottles, right? And so it's through doing this that we muscle test. And then the actual process of embedding that new goal or that new habit or whatever it is, that new feeling into your brain, is through using different kinesthetic movements. So, you know, you might be tapping your legs, or you might be moving your eyes, or crossing your feet in different directions. And all of these things are allowing your neural pathways to fire in a new direction. So it's bringing in this new statement, this new idea, while your neurons are doing something new as well. So it's almost kind of like it's putting that into the subconscious. I like to say it's like we downloaded an app, and now you have the ability to now open it and work through that and have that in your life now.
Yeah, it's really incredible and it's very powerful. And what I thought was so interesting, that I could see a lot of parallels, can I say that in English, to hypnosis. So in terms of working with the subconscious mind and then shaping new neural pathways and just making things that would usually take a really long time to change, like limiting beliefs or thoughts or patterns, behaviors, and can change it in a really, really fast way. And I think this is really such a good tool to like have very fast access to success in many different ways. So what's the way that you're combining this with astrology? Is there any connection how you get this works together?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work with clients, one-on-one, and we'll either work for a long extended period of time together or in one session. And we'll usually go through their birth chart first and see, okay, what are the things, you know, just by like we did today, when we're talking about your birth chart, suddenly stuff comes up because you're like, oh, okay, I see this. And yeah, I do want to transform this. So we'll go through the birth chart and see what are some things that are, you know, triggering to you right now, or the natural patterns that you already have that you want to transform. And then we'll say, okay, well, we can see this in your birth chart that, you know, you have this Mars in the seventh house or whatever it might be. Maybe that's something that we want to work on. And then from there, we'll determine that and then use the Psyche to transform it.
Hmm. Yeah. So if someone is listening and would really like to try that and work with you, which I can highly recommend, I mean, just listen to the episode that explains it all, how well you explain it and how much you know about these topics. So where can people find you and connect with you the best?
Yeah. So the best is, there's a couple ways. You know, I'm very active on Instagram. That's kind of the fastest way to just DM me. It's Natalie Holbrook Wellness. And then my website is also natalieholbrookwellness.com. You can send me a message there, or, you know, you can email me. I would say that the fastest way, and to just, if you want to learn more about this, just check out everything that I'm posting, because I talk about this. I talk about the Psyche. I'm starting to talk about the Psyche more on my Instagram, and just get in touch that way.
Beautiful. I will definitely link to everything in the show notes so you can find Natalie. And this interview was literally not from this planet, not from this world. Like, bring me to the stars. Yeah, it was beautiful. Thank you so much. Like, this was actually the first time I understood my chart and I understood how to actually read it. And like, I felt like you knew me for forever, because it was so accurate, everything that you said. So thank you so much for this and explaining in such a nice and easy way, with such easy access, all this. I'm sure it has helped so many people out there understanding much more about astrology. So thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you, Leandra. Such an honor.